And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Nikki. Let's pray together. Thank you for all we've heard this morning, Lord, and sung and prayed. And now just may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, if you've been coming on a Sunday morning, you'll know that been listening to the Word of God, we're being invited to bring common struggles and see how the gospel has hope for everyday battles in the lives of every believer. We've thought about bitterness, we've thought about stuff. Today, I've been asked to speak on the subject of worry or anxiety, as it comes in the verses that we've just been hearing from Jesus. Not living in a way that just kind of accepts it as kind of just, oh, well, it's just how that's just the way things are. But thinking and allowing the gospel of Jesus to bring us hope and joy and rest. Okay? That's what we're going to have a crack at just now. And you need to pray for me. Okay. Now, worry. Here's a definition of worry. Some of us in our community groups have been going through this material in Real Change. And in week three, we had a little definition of worry. See what you think about this. Worry. You fret. You go over and over the circumstances. You try to think through every possibility and you come up with your own way of dealing with the problem. You are consumed with the problem and can't shut your mind off. And we thought of some examples in our community group, the kind of way anxiety could build up if you're in a traffic jam and you've got an appointment and you're not getting there and everything is going wrong, and it just kind of builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And what has the gospel got to do with any of that? Or you might have anxiety about a grandchild, how they're going to survive in this world. Or you might be caring for an aged parent or a relative whose life is deteriorating with terminal illness. There's quite a lot to worry about, don't you think? As Sophie brought us in those prayers, we look at the world, we look at stuff, we look at the church, and we think, Lord, what is going on? How do I even think about this stuff? Never mind know how to react to it. And we can fret, and we can go over and over, and we can think about every possible avenue of way of dealing. We are consumed, as that definition rather well puts it, and we can't shut our minds off for it. And so when Henry said to me, Keith, how about you preaching this sermon on worry? I thought to myself, I'd love to hear somebody preach on this subject. Because if we were to stop now in church for 5 minutes, and in just twos or threes, we're not going to do this, by the way, just in case you get worried. And we shared, even from the last week, the things that we might have included in the things that I've just described in terms of worry. I think we might take maybe more than 5 minutes. And then if you go in and the material that we've been looking at helpfully helps us, and we were talking about this in our group as well, the ways that we can avoid worry through escapism or denial or self-pity or whatever it may be. So worry certainly gives us plenty of opportunity for sin. But what about the gospel? What has the gospel got to say to this seemingly intractable part of our human condition? All of us do it. I do it. You do it. This week we've done it. And I've got a little list of stuff facing me this coming week. I don't know about you. What's on your list? And I wondered to myself, Jesus, didn't you even worry a little bit sometimes? What about in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knew what was ahead of him that day and the following day. You remember what he said? Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. There was anguish. There was an emotional reaction. It's almost, and this is my words, not his, so just take it this way. It's almost him saying, Lord, if there was another way, I really would consider it. So what do we make of these words? Somebody just telling me, don't worry. And you think, well, that doesn't help me very much. Don't worry, pat on the back, look on the bright side of life, you know? It's easy to sound facile, and it's doubly wrong when we just kind of treat our wounds lightly. We do that, but we're not taking somebody's concern seriously. And actually, concern for a grandchild or an aged relative, there might be the seed of something good there, and we need to recognize that. So we're going to look at this passage to see what Luke is going to teach us from Jesus about worry and anxiety. And I hope we'll see that this is coming out of a particular situation that Jesus is going to address. But it's given to us to help us because there is a general application as well. And that's important because, again, in our community group, we recognize that sometimes, and for some of us, at some time or another, and maybe this may be you, and it may be people you know, sometimes worry and anxiety can get such a hold that we go into a depression. And there can be illnesses and mental illnesses, and there is help. All right, and one of the gifts that we're going to be thinking about in terms of the kingdom of God and what Jesus says is God's gift, and the medical help that we can receive is part of his giving. So what kind of worry is Jesus talking about, and is it the kind of worry you and me are facing this morning? These verses in Luke chapter 12, and if you've got your Bible and have a look, by all means do it. They come straight after Jesus talking about a man who was wealthy. And his worry, as if we wouldn't love to have this problem, his worry was, what is he going to do with all his money or wealth? His barns weren't big enough for his crops. So his solution was to pull them down and to build bigger ones. And in one sense, this guy was quite successful in dealing with his worry. He had a solution. He could afford to build the bigger barn, and he just went right ahead. And you might think, what's the problem? And Jesus, what does Jesus call the man? A fool. He calls him a fool. He hadn't reckoned on one little fact, and that was that his life was going to end. And that all this stored up wealth was going to somebody else, not to him. And the worry that Jesus has in mind is the worry that thinks getting what I can, as much as I can, for as long as I can, is what this life is all about. People who spend their whole lives worrying about stuff like that. And it's a worry which aims at self-improvement to the max, and it takes not a bit of notice of God or that our lives might have been given to us for some other purpose than our self-aggrandizement. And I don't know about you, but that kind of worry, you check this out this week if you think this is an overstatement, but that is a worry that feeds almost the entire advertisement industry on our TVs and internet and phones. Every worry you might have had about your income or about your appearance or about your relationships, there is a solution just around a corner. All you need to do is X, Y, and Z. The only trouble, says Jesus, is that you have to meet with God and give an account of your life. And you don't want to hear the words, you fool. Did you think that's why I gave you your life, just to use it in that way? Did you think that that's what your life was about? Didn't you notice or consider that I might put you here for some other reason? The story of the rich fool comes out of someone else's worry. If you go back to the beginning of, you know, one brother getting upset for another brother about wasn't sharing the family inheritance. We could spend another 5 minutes in the congregation right now, we won't, sharing about family feuds of people who get upset about the way somebody else used or didn't use their money and didn't benefit me or somebody I know, and people's families break up and depart. And I've got a story from my family, and maybe you have as well. But here's the thing, and I may not be right about this at all, because I don't know how much is going on, and you know, in our heads so much is going on, isn't it? But I don't see greed as being a major problem at St. Clement's. I don't think we would be doing half the stuff that is going on in the life of the church that is made possible by people's giving and working and serving in terms of cafe conversations or food banks or any number of stuff, from gospel kids to hubs and all kinds of stuff, if we weren't learning something more about life than the rich fool that Jesus is speaking about in the passage preceding the one this morning. So how do the words that Jesus says about worry, the worry about greed, help us if we may be having other worries? Worries about children or parents or any number of other things, including how we're going to pay the bills at the end of the month and so on. And what I'd like us to do as we look at these verses is to see a sequence that I'm hoping and praying will be a blessing to you. And as I was saying to Paul just before the service, you know, when you preaching, you have to preach to yourself before you preach to anyone else. And I'd like to tell you, folks, I've been preaching this stuff to myself all week with my worries, and I know I'm going to be needing to do it this week coming as well. So I'm hoping it's of help and a blessing. And I'll just say something at the end to signal that although it's not, we're not talking about quick fixes here, we've talked about sanctification this morning already. We're talking about a process of what God is doing in us. And I'm hoping that this sequence that I can see, and I hope you can see with me in these verses, will be helping us in that sanctifying work. Jesus has brought us to himself. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't achieve it. He's dealt with the wrong stuff, our foolishness, our greed, our whatever we want to add on that particular list. And now he wants to take us further into a way in which the working out of that gospel can touch the reality of our lives, whatever it may happen to be. So let's see if you see this sequence in these verses in Luke 12, 22 and following. And the first is there in verse 22, where a very simple thing happens. You may just kind of quickly got to speed over it, but actually it's at the heart of everything that's going to happen here. Jesus says, therefore, learn from what happened to this story and these brothers. Therefore, I tell you. Jesus has got something to say to us. Jesus is going to help us understand what is going on with the particular worries, dynamics, or whatever that we are facing. Jesus is going to take our worry on, and he is going to speak so that we might not be fools, but we might have wisdom, and we might have truth. So that's the first thing, just listen. Listen, listen, listen. Secondly, he talks about considering, okay? He says, don't worry, don't have anxiety about your life, how long you're going to live, as if you can add another hour to it. What he is wanting us to do is to look around us. And so he says to his disciples, who are now listening to him, he says, consider. And he's got two parts of the creation he wants them to consider, the ravens and then the lilies. And the ravens who neither sow nor reap, and the lilies who neither toil or spin. But he says, after we listen, we consider or look and see how God has blessed them with food and with beauty. And drawing both the birds and the flowers together, he asks this penetrating question to his disciples who are listening. Don't you realize if God is giving food to the ravens and beauty to the lilies, how much more is he going to give you? Church, do you know how much God loves you this morning? Do you know how much he wants to give you this morning? Look around you. Look around at the creation that he has made. And when that happens, and we start to realize that God is at work, something changes in us. And if you, one of the things we've done on the community groups, this real change, it gives you some homework. If you want some homework, you could go through the Bible and you could look at other parts of the creation that in other parts of the Bible we're encouraged to look at in order to see how much God loves us. Go to Psalm 8 and it talks about infant children and it talks about the stars in the heaven. Go to Psalm 19 and it talks about the sunrise and the sunset. There is quite a lot for us to see and consider. And if worry is consuming you, shriveling you up, and your faith is stunted, Jesus is saying, look around you, consider, focus, turn your face, your mind, your imagination outwards. And when that happens, When we bring that child or that parent or that situation or whatever it may be, our understanding starts to change. Because the world that we are in and the world that they can be in starts to be shaped by the reality of the creation of God and the love of God for us and for them. And we start to see in this sequence how listening, how stopping and listening to Jesus and considering what he says to us takes us into a way of placing whatever the worry is into another framework. And that matters. And that is important. But that's not the end of the sequence. The third part of the sequence in these verses is a refusal. Verse 29, he says, don't keep striving after these things that will not give you anything more. He says that more, the world, the culture of the world, antiquity or modern or post, whatever you want to say, is about consumption and is about getting and striving. And he says, don't do that. Not that these things don't matter. God knows what you need to eat and live. He made you. He loves you. He wants to give you, but he wants to give you things which will be good for your life and that will not destroy you. It is your Father's good pleasure, he says, to give you the kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. We pray it. In the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows. But the other thing that we're to refuse is not a kind of manic striving. It is to refuse fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of submitting your life to the kingdom of God. That's another way, I would say, of what sanctification is. See, that rich man who was kind of always consumed about kind of his money and his wealth and his barns and all the rest of it, he might have been a believer in God for all we know. I've no idea. But if he had any kind of belief in God at all, it was more like God as somebody to be flattered or ameliorated or most likely ignored. Not somebody to be welcomed or hallowed or invited in. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. And I don't know about you, but when worry gets a hold of you, whatever it may be, often there will be a fear there. And Jesus invites us to recognize that and to name it and to refuse to go there, to refuse to let it control us or define us. So listen to him. Consider the creation. Refuse that which will take you deeper into the abyss. And lastly, and I've used this word, but because of the language that Jesus uses here, it's the word invest. Invest in the kingdom of God. You've been saved by Jesus' blood on the cross. You are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You are bringing anxiety and worry, whatever it may be, and you're listening and you're considering and you're refusing. And now he says this thing about him. He says, sell your possessions. You might be worried about money. Sell your possessions. Are you kidding? Make purses that don't wear out. It's all what these last verses in this passage are about, are all about investing in the kingdom of God, investing in that which is eternal, putting your energy and your focus into those things that will bring the kingdom of God more in your life and in the lives of others around you. I was just reading in a book I'm reading, which is a helpful book on the subject of loss and grief. There's a quote by Corrie ten Boom, who, if you will know of her story, she went through a concentration camp as a believer in Christ. Can you imagine anything worse? And yet she could say these words, God doesn't just command us to love our enemies. He doesn't just give us the command. He gives us the love. Isn't that fabulous? And when we are investing in the kingdom of God, and he gives the example of selling money or maybe giving hospitality or whatever it may be, you know, we have so many examples of that around our life in St. Clement's, praise God. We are finding ourselves receiving the blessing. We are finding ourselves recalibrated in our estimation of the things that might be filling our minds, money or whatever else it may be. And I don't know about you, but I find this incredibly challenging and powerful. Because Jesus isn't giving us a breezy, everything's going to be fine. He's giving us a sequence that will help us enter into what is going on and will enable him to work his kingdom, power, and life in us and through us. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done, it didn't make the next 24 hours any easier. But it enabled him to go through it. And he might be asking us to do the same thing. When we listen to him, when we consider the creation, when we refuse fear and striving in our own strength, and when we invest our lives in the kingdom of God and open ourselves up to his spirit, working his work and his rule and will in us. And Jesus, as always, doesn't tell us to do something he doesn't do himself. And when he walks by faith, when he goes through the cross to establish the justification that we've been thinking about, to take all our wrong and junk and rubbish upon himself, including the judgment of God, in order that we would be free of those verses from Romans we had at the beginning about peace with God. That rich man didn't have peace with God. He was consumed with worry. But Jesus came to bring peace. And that's what the gospel does, and that's what the kingdom does when we live in that kingdom. It doesn't necessarily going to mean a quick solution, brothers and sisters. That's not what this is. But it's a process in which we are learning about trusting God who loves us and who made us. And who will bring us through. One of the most famous missionary martyrs, South America, Jim Elliot, who was killed where he went to some Native Americans in South America. But these words came to my mind. I was just thinking about investing in the kingdom of God. He is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So there we are. It's not a stress-free process, is it? But it's the process in which we find more deeply the love of God for us and the world. Because Jesus comes to us. He speaks his word to us. And if we will follow that sequence today, I believe we will see the kingdom of God being more real in us and among us, even as he is already here, but praise God, in the life of St. Clement's. Two things before I finish. As you might have told, thank you for those lovely prayers, Sophie, and for what Promise and Mark were saying earlier. There are some things to worry about at the moment, and certainly, you know, I would be not speaking the truth if I didn't acknowledge their impact. And certainly this week has had, as I say, I've been preaching these words to myself all week. And particularly it was Tuesday, and I'd had a really upsetting email from a member of my family in the morning. And I wasn't feeling in a great place, to be frank with you. And I had to go and do a talk down in Hereford at Ludlow for one of our diocesan evangelical fellowships like we have in Manchester. And I knew what I was kind of going to say. Excuse me, I need to get a tissue here. As I say, I was worried. And, you know, that definition that I read out at the beginning had certain applicability to me. Well, the meeting was, I don't know how quite I spoke, but I did. But the Lord really, it was a wonderful meeting, and it was a great encouragement. It was a kind of investing in the kingdom of God type meeting. But what really blessed me and has stayed with me, and I just share this with you, is an illustration of somebody who was doing this with a particular kind of worry. Was an old friend of mine who we've been thinking of Manchester CUs and from Barney and everything, and he was somebody who was with me in our CU group at college. Big, strong guy in the army, a forester, wonderful man, and his wife were there. But I hadn't seen him for a long time, but I had heard that 2 years ago he had been struck with Parkinson's disease. And there he was, Rob, bowed but subdued, and he was honest enough to say he's had some low moments. But what he said to me, he said, "Keith, when this diagnosis came to me, and there's another worry about terminal illness, I went down," he said to me, "I went on down in Devon onto the cliffs," and I thought, "Oh my goodness, Rob, I didn't think you were going to throw yourself over." No, he said, "I shouted out to God." And he said, "Lord," he said, "please use this for your glory." Can you imagine? I don't know that I would be able to pray that, but he did. And by God's grace, he was. So this is something that happens and will affect and will shape us if we can stay with what Jesus is saying to us and with what Jesus will do within us. And the last point, in a way, just reinforces we were praying together before the service. Because one of the things that I've been going through this sequence myself, and as I've been thinking about something that's coming up in the week ahead, I felt God giving me some other verses from Scripture which would be helpful to me, and I will see whether how they relate when I get to that particular day on Tuesday. But one of the verses is the verse Revelation 3:20, which, if you know it, is the verse, certainly one of the verses that was used when I became a Christian in my early teens. "Behold," Jesus speaking in the book of Revelation, Jesus saying, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he with me." And that opened the door for the justification for me, because that's where I found out my sins were forgiven. But in the book of Revelation, those words are actually spoken to a church, and Jesus, in terms of talking about "I will come into," has got some connection with the Lord's Supper that we're going to be finishing this service with this morning. Because it's not just when you become a Christian that you invite Jesus into your life. It's as you go on living as a Christian that you are invited to go on inviting him in. And he says, "Let me in. Let me come in and sit with you. Let's talk about whatever it may be in terms of the worry or the anxiety or whatever it may be. And let me teach you and tell you how precious you are, what I've done to forgive you and deliver you. Let me tell you what you need to avoid and not be afraid of. And let me work the kingdom life among you." And as we finish and as we pray and as we let the gospel relate to us, brothers and sisters, this morning, may that be the word that we hear, Jesus asking of each and every one of us this morning, that we let him in, that we listen to him and consider what he asked us to consider, that we refuse fear and striving in our own strength, and we ask him to show and work in us the work of his kingdom, that, as we have already heard for our sister Brenda, will never be taken away and will live for eternity. Amen.